Chapter 1. March 1810, Kent. It was the first true day of spring, and Marianne Edgewood stood at present, the sole occupant of the rose garden on the southern lawn of Brindale Castle. Her late uncle had employed, through the expedience of a new land steward, who had the courtesy to take orders from her, a gardener and an outdoor servant who acted as groom. She'd sent both of them to scythe the eastern lawn. This left her in perfect peace, to skim her fingers over the rose bush's thick, thorny stems, and pluck the browning leaves that must give way for the budding green ones. Her mother had loved these roses, and spending time in their company was one of the few ways remaining to Marianne to spend time with her mother, a loss now going on 10 years. She glanced at the garden fork beside her, and left off her pruning to tackle the more robust task of airing out the earth around the base of each plant. As she worked, her blood pumped, and a smile came naturally to her face. Loosening the earth and pulling the fledgling weeds before they could fully take root brought the satisfaction of instilling order to an estate that otherwise refused to be tamed. The wind picked up, cooling her cheeks and sending a chill along her back, where a trickle of perspiration collected. The gust of air whistled through the branches of the dogwood trees, carrying with it the unexpected sound of hoofbeats. This was not unheard of, as the Brindale property was bordered on the west by a public road. The distraction was, however, noteworthy, and most unusual when the sound of those hoofbeats grew louder, until a rider emerged through the western gate of the castle grounds and entered the estate. The sun had peaked 3 hours earlier, and was now on its downward path, and Marianne squinted at the uninvited guest, until he drew near, and she could discern more than a dim outline.
"You!"
The gentleman sitting astride a stallion of an impressive size pulled up along the path, her path, that intercepted the row of Lancaster and York roses on one side and yew hedges on the other. A few rogue curls sprang out from underneath his top hat, and the muscled thighs encased in calfskin breeches, along with the tight-fitting coat visible under his folded cape, proclaimed him a man of no paltry size and breadth.
"Run and fetch your mistress, and inform her that Mr. Peregrine Osborne, nephew and heir to the Baron Lord Steer, has come and requests an audience with her."
Marianne thrust her garden fork into the pliable soil, and lifted her head to better appraise the man, her heart beginning to beat a fearful rhythm. The news of her uncle's death 6 months prior brought with it the information that she had not inherited the castle, as he had all but promised. Instead, an unknown baron, Lord Steer, the thought of whose visit she had trembled over in the months following her uncle's death, was given possession of the deed to Brindale Castle. And now it appeared she must welcome his nephew, a man who had not seen fit to give notice of his visit. Her hour of reckoning had come. With her forearm she brushed a lock of hair out of her face, in time to catch the look of surprise that flitted across his expression, followed by hesitation. She had taken her time to answer, and her attitude showed nothing of the submissive servant he must have expected, although she could hardly blame him for assuming it of her. She was garbed in her oldest dress, and wore the grass-stained work apron that even a lady's maid would have disdained. Her soft bonnet was hidden on the bench, behind the boxwood shrub. In an effort to delay the inevitable, and perhaps seized by an uncharacteristic flash of devilry, she dipped into a brief curtsy, and responded in the unrefined speech of a servant.
"You'll find the stables on the north end of the castle, just beyond the pond, my lord. I'll inform the mistress."
Leaving her gardening tools in place, Marianne turned without another word, and went at an unhurried pace to the closest entrance to the castle. This happened to be the kitchen, tucked on the near edge of the southern tower. There was an absence of movement behind her, what seemed like a puzzled silence, as if the gentleman wondered whether he should take her to task for having dismissed him, before she heard the sounds of the horse, turning and walking in the direction she had indicated. She stepped inside the kitchen and went past the stillroom, her eyes adjusting to the sudden decrease in light. Mrs. Melford set down a bundle of apricots in the sink and wiped her hands on her apron as she came over. "Oh no, please don't trouble yourself, Mrs. Melford. I'm not in need of anything." Marianne pulled her own apron over her head and draped it across her arm as she rounded the wooden table in the direction of the door that led to the narrow corridor. She pinched her lips together, flustered.